Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners. You guys know what time it is. It's time to get the extra points. NFL Exporter, we're getting ready for Thursday night kickoff. Thursday night football. And we are about to kick things off for week 10. And so, look, we got a special show for you today. We have officially approached the halfway point in the season. There are 8 games left on the schedule, meaning we are halfway through the season, and we are going to recap everything that's taken place so far in 2015 and get you geared up and ready to go for the second half of the season. Let me strap you down real quick where how you can find us, how you follow us on Twitter at NFL Exporter, Facebook.com/NFL Exporter, the website, which is always the tool that we utilize. That is the resource, that's the hub, that's the home for NFL Exporter, that's NFLExporter.com. If you go to that website right now, on Wednesdays when we flip that website, Thursday on Extra Points, we pretty much go in depth and talk about the content, the information that you see, and everything connects and leads over into the weekend. And so if you go to NFLExporter.com right now, you'll see the top point scorers at each position for week 9. You'll see the top 10 to 11 players. Like to be a little different. I know there's a top 10, but if there's any honorable mentions, then we like to throw those in there. Anybody noteworthy, we throw those in there as well. And if you go to the fantasy football page, and that's the page that you concentrate on Wednesdays when that website is flipped, that's the content that we're going to focus on today. And so, look, the call-in number is 626-213-5762. You have questions. You need some advice, you just want to talk fantasy, don't be afraid to hit me up. This is, by the way, a live broadcast from Dave & Buster's in Los Angeles, California. If you're out in L.A., make sure to join us tonight when you get off work. Come on out, 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, 90045. This is the home for fantasy football here in Southern California. We got a great venue, great food, great atmosphere. Come down and have a good time. Happy hour officially started at 3:30. All right, look, let's hop into the show. Let's not waste any time. And so your top handcuffs at the running back position so far this year, coming in number one, I don't think there's any question, D'Angelo Williams of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's basically been Le'Veon Bell. He's put up numbers that you can arguably say are better than Le'Veon Bell. You can go to that extent. But if you've gotten D'Angelo Williams, you've got yourself a top draft pick. I mean, he is putting up monster stats. And so without question, he is in for the running backs, because we're going to talk about some waiver wires too, and late round value. So, you know, some of these guys fall into all of those categories. You know, there's certainly some owners who from day one, especially if you had Le'Veon. And if you remember the NFL Exporter Big Board, certainly D'Angelo Williams was in the top 5 to 10 handcuffs. And so, you know, some owners drafted him the day of their draft. Others scooped him up off the waiver wire. But, boy, what a job he's done. And if he keeps on track, he's going to finish in the top 5 at the running back position, and that'll be unbelievable. Chris Johnson, Arizona Cardinals, what a job he's done, right? Same would apply, right? Some people maybe, you know, said go ahead and snatch him up. Maybe didn't feel Ellington had as tight a grip on that spot as possible. But certainly the waiver wire. And, wow, what a pickup he's been. You figure you grab Andre Ellington in your draft, and then you go ahead and grab CJ1K behind him. And, boy, did that pay off big dividends. And for owners who were able to get Chris Johnson, look, he's top 3 in the NFL in rushing yards right now. You know, from a fantasy standpoint, you definitely want to see him hit the end zone more. But by all means, a top 3 rusher for what you paid for him, you can't beat that. Charkandrick West of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we see it's just a situation where it's the system. Jamaal Charles obviously thrives in this system. Now Davis, and he was the guy who owners were advised to handcuff. We all thought that, you know, something happened to Jamaal based on what you've seen out of Niall Davis for years when he's had to step in, kind of a similar situation like D'Angelo. You know, he's coming in and putting up, you know, just Jamaal Charles-like numbers. So anyway, Charkandrick West is the guy that they're deciding to go with this year. And like Davis and like Jamaal Charles, he's thriving He's averaging 25 to 30 carries, touches overall in the game. You know, he's involved in the passing game. And when that's happening, you're going to thrive. You know, you're going to either get, 100 all-purpose yards or maybe, 75, 80 yards in the TD. So he's a good look out there in Kansas City when the Chiefs made the call on that. We really didn't know how that was going to shake out. Going to have some tough matchups, but boy, what a pickup he was there. Giovanni Bernard, he was certainly in. Now that things have had themselves situated, it's just basically the situation from last year, just with Hill being a little more involved. You know, Gio is the guy certainly who's making the most out of his opportunity, and he's still getting about 60%. On a bad day, he's still getting 60% of the snaps, and so Gio's the guy. He's an all-purpose guy, excellent flex play, and great value. For owners able to scoop him up. If you had him behind Hill, then that's much relief. If you just grabbed him as a handcuff, nice job there by him. Carlos Williams, Buffalo Bills, we'll get a chance to see him tonight. And wow, that's all I could say. I mean, you figure they let Fred Jackson go, and I remember that. When they let Fred go, I said, well, they just signed Fred the year before, and Fred's been fairly productive. I mean, you're figuring with Shady there, he's going to be getting the bulk of the work anyway. So what's the big deal? Well, the word I got back quickly was, this Carlos Williams, a rookie from Florida State, he's been impressive enough to the point where they don't need Fred Jackson. I said, oh, really? And I see why. However, the situation is working out. This guy's staying in the end zone. And the thing that I really liked about him was a couple weeks ago when they played the New York Giants, or a month ago, whatever it was, the Giants at Buffalo, he got stopped up on the ground but was able to get a receiving touchdown. And I like the versatility there. And he's very productive as a rookie. Really anxious to see what he does tonight. That's a key matchup. The Bills run game against the Jets, number one rush D. And you figure Carlos Williams, he's going to continue to factor into the mix. What a great flex play for you right now. Darren McFadden. And certainly he was one of the guys highly touted here on NFL Exporter as far as handcuffs were concerned. We looked at it. We said, look, they brought him over to compete. And Joe Randle's got the inside track for whatever reason. And, that's the true essence of a handcuff. You think about injury. Certainly don't wish an injury on any player. But when an injury occurs, like a Jeremy Langford last week, you want a guy who can step in and get the full workload, especially if the matchup is nice. So McFadden was a guy who we highly recommended. And the chips fell in his favor. Randle couldn't hold on to the starting job. And Lance Dunbar went down, and that's when you really seen McFadden's value rise, because they designated McFadden the third down back, basically taking Lance Dunbar's role. And then from there, he was able to, Randle got hurt the one game and he was able to pick it up, and, he's rolling now. And so McFadden is paying off for owners who paid attention. He was another top five. And on the NFL Exporter Big Board handcuff, and so great job there. Ronnie Hillman. Now, look, last week, and I own him, and I know I speak for all owners, but anybody just from a pure standpoint, football standpoint anyway, we'll overlook the 1 yard yesterday. We'll allow for you one time in your career to have the worst game of your life. I honestly believe in that game that if it wasn't for the special teams touchdown, that Denver's down that game 17-0, and at that point they're passing. They abandoned the run. It wasn't working early. They got down 17-0, and at that point they're going to pass. And C.J. Anderson is the guy who is the who's going to be in on passing downs. And so they both had 7 carries. It's a horrible day, a bad game, and we'll chalk it up as that. But a guy we're certainly keeping a close eye on. And look, he's had some effective games. He was very effective against Green Bay. He was very effective against Minnesota. He was very effective against Cleveland. Up over 100 yards, in 2 out of 3 and 2 touchdowns in the other. The other game, it's been a little shaky. So, we certainly want to look. I think the thing that's kind of got his value fluctuating is the fact when Gary Kubiak says that he's going to be the starter, he's earning more of the time. But then again, I guess we talk about game flow. And again, think about Giovanni Bernard out in Cincinnati. That's what it's about, game flow. If for whatever reason Denver has to get in the pass mode or wants to come out of passing formation, then C.J. Anderson is going to be on the field, you know, 85, 90% of the time. So, you know, no matter what, he's still got the inside edge. But Hillman's got value, you know. So we'll keep a close eye on him. But he's certainly been able to cash in on some nice days. James Starks, what a late bloomer he is. Now, here we go again, right? Mike McCarthy is designating him the starter, but then coming back and saying, well, Eddie Lacy's still going to be in the fold. We'll work him in. So let's see how much of a starter or number one he is. But James Starks, he's been by far. I mean, Lacy hasn't done anything. So I guess anybody would be better than Lacy right now. But James Starks has outperformed him all year long. And Green Bay is going to go with him at running back. And so he's got a lot of value now. And for owners who have him, he may be a guy, maybe before he cashes in on a big game, to see if he can strike a low-end deal. Maybe got an extra receiver with some value or something like that. See if you can wiggle him away. But looking at their upcoming schedule, he's got the potential to have some nice games. How about Charles Sims, Duke Johnson Jr.? A couple rookies coming in. Johnson Jr. is a rookie. I apologize. Sims in his second year. And I like Sims. You know, he's a guy who's – he makes a lot of plays. Let's put it that way. He makes a lot of big plays. Flex play, low-end game, who usually rips off a big one, you know. And so, again, low-end flex. But I like what Charles Sims is doing for that offense. He's making the most out of his opportunity. And if you catch him on a good day, you probably can catch him for about, you know, hey, 70 all-purpose yards and a potential TD. You know, catch him on that good day, that TD could be in the tires for you. So, nice job by him. Duke Johnson Jr. as well. He looks good. He looks good. And I'm you know, he might be another guy that you want to try to see if you can swivel away from somebody right now. And as I'm speaking to you guys, I'm thinking about doing these things myself as we speak. Because, look, Cleveland season is pretty much over. And Crowell doesn't – well, it's not that he doesn't. He's not getting it done. And, you know, at some point, they're probably going to want to see what Johnson Jr. can offer for an entire game. And perhaps, you know, in the playoffs, you know, David Cobb's another guy we advise, you know, owners, you know, snatch him up. The likelihood, you never know how this thing will turn. It could be for a week. But, again, you know, look at Jeremy Lang, right matchup, right time. You know, that San Diego matchup was right for the picking. And he put up Forte. Those were numbers that you expect Matt Forte to put up. See, he's the system. But anyhow, Duke Johnson Jr., I think he's a guy, again, PPR, he's done a great job this year. He's got to be amongst the leaders in for running backs for reception. And this kid's got value, you know, especially in deeper leagues. So I think he's an excellent one to have on your bench as well. Again, for Sims or Starks, Sims or Johnson, if Crowell goes down, I believe they're going to give him the workload at some point before the season is over. And if Martin, you know, he seems to be going strong. But those are two guys, and they're rounding it out. We got Ryan Matthews of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, he's another guy. You know, I mean, right now, look, you probably got, 2 to 3 weeks left before you can make trades. And, again, it's about value. You know, Ryan Matthews, you go take a look. Now, DeMarco Murray has probably got about 40, maybe a 40 more carries than Ryan Matthews. But Ryan Matthews has got about maybe 25 more yards rushing. And, you know, again, everybody, he kind of seems just like a little bit more of a smoother fit, you know, in that offense than DeMarco. And, you know, he's the guy, you know, when they're running that rotation, they're featuring DeMarco. You like in Philadelphia now. They've got it down, right? You know, they figured out how they want to do it. And we talked about that, about two, maybe even keep DeMarco with 20-plus, you know, get Matthews in there behind him 11 to 13. That's the balance they want, you know. And so Matthews, a guy who certainly got some value. And, again, if anything were to happen to Murray, you can see that Ryan Matthews would certainly flourish. So, you know, think about it. Those are some running backs right there that, you know, take a look at their schedule. You know, it just gave you a lot of good information there. These might be some players right now. You might not have to give up a ton. And, again, maybe even if it's just a matchup, they may be able to help your team out, and that's important this week to week with these matchups. All right, look, we're going to run to just a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish talking 2015 fantasy football season. It's the halftime break. We are heading into week 10 of the NFL season, which is the halfway point. That means we have 8 weeks left, 8 games left, and in your playoffs, you probably got about 3 to 4 weeks, excuse me, 4 to 5 weeks before those begin. So don't go anywhere. Just give me a quick break. NFL Exporter Extra Points. We'll be right back. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Point Fantasy Football Show, NFL Exporter Live, Dave and Buster's, Los Angeles, California, getting ready for Thursday Night Football, Buffalo Bills, New York Jets. You know, this is a big division game. You got a lot of stuff going on in between the lines. Rex Ryan, old team, former, you know, players on other teams. And, again, division. This is jockeying for position. You know, these teams, the wild card hunt is what's on the line here for these teams. You know, obviously New England out front in that division. But you got a lot of fantasy players. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Chris Ivory, McCoy, Carlos Williams, Sammy Watkins, Tyrod Taylor perhaps, Jets defense, Bills defense. You know, this should be a good game. Should definitely be a good game and looking forward to it. Don't forget to call the number 626-213-5267. L.A., I know you hear me out there. It's the NFL Exporter. Hey, when you get off of work or you're looking to come have some fun at night, you know where to find us. We have a great atmosphere and crowd each and every week. A lot of fantasy owners, obviously NFL fans, and we're going to make it happen. Let's hop back now. NFLExporter.com, that's the website. You go to the fantasy football page. We're now going to move over to mid-level running backs. And we spent a lot of time in fantasy football training camp talking about landing the right mid-level running backs. These were the running backs who were right in behind that elite group and very small second tier of running backs that were available. And so let's look and see how it shake out. And I know that everybody will be very familiar with the names. And if you own these guys or not, certainly is going to have a huge effect on how you're going to feel about these names when we talk about them. All right, let's go in. Look, Chris Ivory, top mid-level running back right now. He was mixed in with a group of guys I'm taking a look at here. He was mixed in with Doug Martin, LeGarrette Blount, Jonathan Stewart, Carlos Hyde, Joseph Randall, Rashard Jennings, Joyke Bell and Rashard, and Andre Ellington. And so by far, Chris Ivory has been the most effective. Last week, again, to me, he just proved his toughness, man. Oh, that guy, like I said, I thought, 23 carries for 26 yards. I mean, it's like an inch a carry. Like, this guy took a pounding, but he found the end zone twice. He got you 16 points on an off day. He's a great number two running back this year. I really like what Chris Ivory has done. Nice job for owners who are able to capitalize and land him. Lamar Miller, he was a second-tier running back. You know, we gave him the benefit of the doubt because of the 1,200 yards. We'll give him the yard. He ran for 1,199. But the 1,200 rushing yards that he had last year, we gave him the nod. We said, okay, Lamar Miller, we'll give you the second-tier status. And so far, he's lived up to billing. You know, after a sluggish start, he's been very productive over the last month, and he's certainly trending up. His involvement in the Dolphins' passing game has now given him some extra additive for his PPR value. I know that's a little unexpected for his owners. They have to be pleased, but he's chipping in through the passing game, and ultimately that's what's keeping his hands on the football and at some point allowing him to break loose. So nice job by Lamar Miller. Frank Gore, and for Frank, it's just been a matter of game flow as well as, you know, Frank definitely has been productive. Let's put it that way. You know, I think all things given, Frank Gore is providing what you would expect him to in a crazy year at the running back position. The one thing that you do know about Frank Gore is that, look, they're giving him enough of a workload for him to be productive. And without having to really dig into the stats, I could tell you that out of the 8 or 9 games that they've played in, he's been productive in about 5. And, you know, that's coming in 65%, 70 clip. You'll take it. You know, I mean, the Coastal struggle. I know we all remember back he had a game against the Jets early in the season, pretty much had a walk-in touchdown. He fumbled. That could have been double digits. Certainly had some been penalized on some pretty long runs. And, you know, I think he had another fumble against another champion, maybe at Jacksonville, right around the goal line. So I think Frank Gore is giving owners the value that they're looking for. He's been solid. He's got a favorable schedule. He was a second-tier running back as well. We give Frankie the nod. He did run for 1128 last year. People you know, may tend to forget that. Gore did run for over 1,100 yards in San Francisco last year. Vision, a high-powered Colts offense that would allow him a lot of red zone, maybe cleanup work like you see Blunt out in New England, and just goal line, you know, inside the 10-yard line, a lot of opportunity. So good job by Frank Gore. Doug Martin, we mentioned him. And, man, Doug is providing the value. You know, we talked about Doug in training camp, and he was certainly, you know, a guy that a lot of owners felt could have a bounce back year, and they were certainly right. You know, got out the gate a little sluggish, but, you know, once he kicked it in the gear, he's pretty much been rolling. And, again, you know, it's about touches. It's about opportunity. That's all it boils down to. You know, how much a guy is getting the ball. His talent at some point is going to take over. It's going to add up consistently. So he's pretty much getting a full workload out in Tampa Bay. They work Charles Sims in. It doesn't affect his work. And Doug Martin, definitely going to continue to be a strong play. Probably one of the strongest flex plays out there right now. I don't think too many people gambled on him from a running back two standpoint, but certainly depth and coming in. You know, you had a couple backs that you picked, and hey, you're catching Doug sixth, seventh round, somewhere around there, depending on how deep your league is. And that's surefire money right there. Moving on over now, Jonathan Stewart, another guy, his first four out of five. He's coming out the gate, couldn't even muster up 60 rushing yards, and then at the most unlikely time at Seattle, pops through 79 yards, two TDs, and he's on his way. And, you know, he was down 55, 60 yards last week, but that was after maybe a 3 or 4 week roll. I think Stewart is certainly laced up to go ahead and continue on. As long as he can stay healthy, he's a strong play. The 22 carries is the number that stands out more than the 66 yards. That is the number that you are looking for. And then, of course, our top mid-level running back was Todd Gurley. I mean, needless to say, what this young man has came in and done and what he's doing right now. And, again, getting, you know, 20-plus carries per game, depending on score and what's happening. And the Rams' defense keeps it close, so he's constantly involved. And, man, he's a big-time player. That's all you can say. Todd Gurley is a big-time player. And, boy, for owners who were able to capitalize on him, man, he's got some favorable matchups coming up down the line. I just took a look at his schedule not too long ago, and boy, they maybe only be a couple of division games, you know, Seattle, Arizona. But other than that, I think this guy is pretty much smooth sailing. And so certainly headed on his way, him, Amari Cooper, Diggs. You know, this rookie class is making an impact. We'll talk about them another day, but they're definitely shining, and Gurley is definitely at the top of the list. All right, now to the guys who are not getting it done. Carlos Hyde, great start against Minnesota. Everybody, myself included, you know, just thought that this guy was going to be one of the top mid-level running backs this year, and it all went down. The 49ers ship itself, you know, kind of just went down. That offense crumbled, and him right along with it. So he's probably done for the year. He's nursing the foot injury. I think what they all know, the season's pretty much over. You know, the team's in limbo. You know, they got to figure it out. You know, franchise. They got franchise decisions they got to make over there. So, yeah, Carlos Hyde, you probably hang him up for the year. Two good games he gave you. You know, he probably gave you maybe, I don't know, maybe three. I know for a fact the first game against Minnesota and the game on the road against the Giants, he balled out. Other games, you know, like I said, maybe one in there, he got the 7 points or something. But, you know, he's a guy who's showing to be injury prone. You know, he's getting nicked up a lot. See him constantly hobbling a lot. You know, he was last year, same thing. So you want to watch that with him. But owners are not going to get what they paid for. Joe Randall, he's another guy. He's done. You can pretty much forget about him. So, you know, a guy who couldn't listen. You know, that was the first thing that got him in hot water. You know, he wasn't able to follow the coach's explicit instructions. And then from there, the stuff off the field. And so what you paid for him, and it were high expectations for Joe Randle, you know, running behind this massive Dallas Cowboys offensive line that we're seeing Darren McFadden take advantage of now. And, man, got to be a letdown. You were getting Randle. We had him projected, you know, right around the fourth or fifth. You're figuring 10, 12-man league right around there, you know, and it didn't pan out for him. Alfred Morris. Yeah. I don't know what happened in Washington this year, but, man, that running game is just – that's – I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't know. And Morris was a second-tier running back, along with Lamar Miller, Frank Gore, Justin Forsett. like I said, it was a very small class of second tier. The mid-level dominated. You had your elite second tier was very small. Forsett, you know, Lamar Miller, Gore, and, man, Alfred Morris. I mean, a guy who had been up, you know, consistently 1,100-plus, 1,200-plus yards. And, man, it just didn't happen. You find him on the waiver wire pretty much across every league. You know, somebody may be holding on for dear life. I don't know what for, but not happening for Alfred Morris this year. Rashard Jennings of the New York Giants, same thing. The thing that I think, at least for me, and why I grabbed him this year is word came out of New York he was going to get the lion's share of the work. And between their offensive line not being able to block, you know, that offensive line cannot block at all. You know, that offensive line, absolutely not. And, you know, that's the thing right now that's really costing them. You know, they're unable to run the football, you know. And he's certainly not getting the lion's share of work. They're giving it Vereen and Brown. They were trying to mix it up. But, yeah, I think we all see Rashard Jennings, this guy, not able to get it done. If you drafted them, you know, these guys, you probably hear how my voice changed, right? We're talking about these guys more of a, you know, sympathetic, pathetic, you know, poor, just laughable note, right? This guy's not performing. Andre Ellington lost his job early. And he looked like he was going to have a big year. I think he was, to be honest. That first game that he had when he went down that injury, he had 68 yards and a touchdown, and they were in the middle of the third quarter. I think if he's healthy, what you see Chris Johnson doing this year is what Andre Ellington would be doing. But nonetheless, the injury cost him, he's done. Your value for him, you did not get it. Joyke Bell, he's another guy. Detroit Lions, another team. His ship is sinking fast. And who knows? They're trying to figure it out. But another team who offensive line cannot block. And who knows? Maybe two or three games he pops in for you. He came back a little unhealthy, but it wasn't going to matter. You know, again, that line can't block. And that Detroit Lions offense is very poor, and, you know, I hold on to him. Who knows? Like I said, maybe a resurgence somewhere down the stretch, but you figure the morale of this team, especially if one more loss comes this week against Green Bay, you know, it's pretty bad out there. And then Melvin Gordon, he'll round it out for us. You know, Melvin Gordon, a guy who high expectations, again, coming into the season, like we've seen, it's not like he's involved. You know, I would say out of all the backs who are struggling, who are in, like, in committee, he's the one. I mean, he's getting a lot of opportunity. I think to me, from what I see, the eye test, like, right, like use that, he looks like he's getting more carries than Jeremy Hill. He looks like he is getting, trying to think, it's more carries than Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson, and they're split. You know, I mean, like, he looks like he's getting a lot. He's getting like 15, 16 carries. Like, they're really, like, he's involved in the offense. Maybe that's it. Like, maybe the other team, maybe that's the problem, right? He's not involvement. It's just like, okay, let's just find a way to get him 12 carries a game, right? That's not what you want, right? Melvin Gordon, I mean, they really try to run the football with him, and it's not working. So he's a guy who's going to round out our list of mid-level running backs who did not perform. Quick break. We'll be back. We're getting ready. Buffalo Bills, New York Jets, approaching 5 on the P, 8 out on the East Coast. And, again, look, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Got to shout out everybody in our NFL Exporter Facebook leagues. We had our first league this year, so the guys over in the War Zone, the guys over in Killer Instinct, the Guts and Glory, the Big Money League, those guys, shouting everybody out over there on the Facebook page. It's been a great year. We're over there all weekend. We'll actually answer some questions later, but make sure to join that page. Man, close to 2,000 owners. I've been going hard since July. L.A., we'll be looking forward to having a great time tonight. Once again, Dave and Buster, 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California, 90045, NFL Exporter. It's the ultimate fantasy experience. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. All right, everyone, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, we are getting ready for Thursday Night Football. We're kicking your week off like we always do. It's the extra points with NFL Exporter. Let's now move over to our mid-level wide receivers. And if you're just joining us, we ran over our top handcuffs for 2015, the best late-round, mid-value running backs, you know, players who are performing and not performing at that position. we're recapping 2015 fantasy season up to this point. Since we're at the halfway point, 8 games left. That means 8 potential weeks in your fantasy football season. Most people are entering week 9 now. Excuse me, 10 now. You got about 4 to 5 weeks before your playoffs begin. Most people's playoffs start either week 14 or 15. Some leagues go straight through, but man, it's that time. We're at the halfway point. Let's hop back in now. We're going to talk mid-level wide receivers. Your best mid-level wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans. He was a guy who was right in behind the second tier of receivers. And the touchdown totals was really the only issue with DeAndre. I think that's what had him right on the cusp. Right? You had your elite guys, Julio, Demarius, Antonio Dez. You had your second tier guys, you know, Mike Evans, Randall Cobb, you know, Benjamin, those guys. And then you had your mid-levels. And we had DeAndre right in there with Keenan Allen and Emmanuel Sanders, you know, guys right there in that territory. And so he's emerged, big-time player, stacking the numbers. He's getting the targets. That's the key. he's getting the targets. And, man, I tell you, it's a lot of fun. This kid has come a long way. But he solidified his spot. Had no problem making the transition without Andre Johnson. See why the Texans were able to get rid of him. And, man, I tell you, especially if that running game continues to struggle, they have to pass the ball a lot. You know, he's going to be a beneficiary by far. Julian Edelman, man, what value he's giving you. Again, 10-man league, 12-man league, where you're scooping him up, probably fifth, sixth round, right? The value's there for you. This guy's a big-time player. Targeted Tom Brady, we told you. That if it wasn't for if it's not Gronkowski, Edelman's his second look. Got the longest relationship running there with Thomas. Man, we see what he does weekly. Great value, you know. I mean, that's a great value pick, right? I mean, you're able to stockpile, you know, your first 4 rounds, and he's coming the 5th or 6th round, and you know, and grab you maybe a Chris Ivory and a Julian Edelman. You know, I mean, that is some big time value there. All right, moving over, Keenan Allen, man. Unfortunately, his season was over, but had to get the honorable mention because he was on his way to a record-breaking year. And, man, that kills you. You know, he's a guy, again, look at the value there. Coming in, you know, 5th round, I mean, you know, based on this year's draft, we're going to touch on that in a second. But figure you make the right picks. You know, you pick up Adrian Peterson 1st round. You come back, you pick up Julio Jones. Maybe in the 3rd, you get a chance to catch Gronk. Or excuse me, just pull up there for me the second tier in running backs. Or let's say you double up. Let's make it simple for me. Don't even bring it up. You double up. So let's say first round you go Adrian Peterson. 2nd round you go Julio Jones. 3rd round you go Randall Cobb. And then 4th round you come back around and you get Ben Roethlisberger. I'm just giving you an ideal situation, which you may have drafted. But then you come back around in rounds 5 and 6, and you land Chris Ivory and Julian Edelman. That's some big-time value. You know, you come back around, you grab a guy like Keenan Allen in the 5th round. You know, so it's unfortunate, but the honorable mention, it needed to be there. Amari Cooper, another guy, you know, and he landed. He was a guy who – what you've seen in mock drafts is exactly where he landed. He's a guy who was getting scooped up 5th round. That's exactly where, you know, in 10 to 12-man leagues, he was going in the 5th round. That's exactly where you were finding him, and he's giving you excellent value. Great job by the rookie. Love what I'm seeing out of him. Brandon Cooks, you can include him in the waiver wire situation as well because owners dropped him. I'm one of them. After maybe 4 weeks, I had seen enough. And I let him go. So he's a guy who now is coming around. And, you know, you can see it took a while for Brees to get settled in. But we talk about, you know, well, who does Drew Brees have to throw the football to this year? You know, he's got all new guys he's working with. So you can see it took a little time. But Willie Snead and Brandon Cooks are now his main 2 targets in the passing game outside of Watson. I think losing Kyrie Robinson is key because Spiller is not as fluid in that running pass routes as Kyrie. Kyrie was more fit for that role. That's why he was getting time over Ingram. But I think especially with that taking place, definitely Cooks, you know, he's got his role down and we like it. You know, I like it. I hate that I, you know, had to part ways with him. You know, I've got in more better players is what I brought in. You know, brought in Eric Decker, I believe, is who I was able to swap out for him off the wire. But no, you know, I'm happy to see that this kid is coming around, and all things point up for him. Looks like he's going to give you the value that you're looking for. Certainly, Jeremy Maclin. I think the one thing you just want to worry about with Maclin a little bit is the touchdowns. Chiefs so bad in the red zone, but from a target standpoint, from a production standpoint, he should be able to get it done. You know, I mean, it's really only him and Kelsey, and the key is he's getting the targets. You know, started off slow, but Alex Smith is getting him the targets, and there's some games that they're going to have to pass the football in. I actually think he's going to do pretty well this week against the Denver Broncos. It's a very tough matchup, but I think so much without Talib being there, but I don't think that Kansas City is going to be able to run. So they're going to end up having to pass, you know, and you know, I think Maclin could potentially stack some solid numbers. All right, Larry Fitzgerald, Brandon Marshall, no question. You know, they're giving you the value, the vets, giving you the value looking for. We got to shout out Steve Smith. He was another one. I mean, look at the value. You know, I mean, I'm a guy who honestly, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you hear me, right? It's like preaching to the choir when you think about NFL Exporter. Value, you know, I mean, getting these players in the third, you know, in the fourth to sixth round, you know, that is some big-time value if you were able to put the right three to four players in front of them, you know. And this is where these drafts are honestly won and lost. It's the value. Because on the other hand, if you pick and we're going to depend on some of these guys, not so. You know, Devonta Adams, no. You know, I'm not giving him a pass for this game last week. I don't care about the injury. For what the expectation was initially out the gate, James Jones came over and took his lunch. He took his job, and A-Rod began beating him. And, you know, I need to see it on a consistent basis, and then I give it to him. But so far, he's got a felling grade. Devonta Adams is a guy who jumped up to maybe about the fifth or sixth round coming in the draft once Jordy Nelson went down. And he did not perform. So no way. Devonta Adams not doing what he needed to. Rhody White, what happened? I mean, I guess he can't get open. You know, that's my only guess. You know, I'm going to have to find a way to take a look at some Falcons game footage, but that's my only guess. I mean, I still felt that coming into this year, like, you know what, obviously Julio's the big dog in town, but, you know, for what it's worth, man, Rhody White still has some value. I mean, if he wasn't throwing to Julio, Rhody, I mean, him and Matt Ryan have been down for years. So, I mean, I guess he can't get open. Golden Tate, another guy, 56th. You know, that's where people – any expectation was there for Golden. But, again, you know, sometimes you get a player who's on a ship, and that Detroit Lions offense, that ship is sinking. Andre Johnson, just not happening. Who knows? Maybe then Matt Hasselbeck will be in there for the next 2-6. Could he? You know, I think that was the only game he had value. You know, and it's, again, look, let's not try to wreck our brains figuring it out. It just boils down to Matt Hasselbeck is more familiar with the guy who's with the backups. You know, Dre, he's not out there running around with Moncrief and Hilton and their starters. You know, Hasselbeck's a little more familiar with him. So let's see. That'll be something we'll look out for, but absolutely not. Andre Johnson has done absolutely nothing to merit where owners were taking him and what the expectation was. DeSean Jackson, I know he hasn't been on the football field, but that's kind of the point. Like, how long does it take to heal a hamstring? I mean, this guy spent 2 months nursing a hamstring. Absolutely not. And Jordan Matthews, you know, I mean, okay, he finally pops up, and actually at the best time, because actually somebody dropped him, and I was desperate for receivers in one of my leagues I'm in, and I scooped him up, and he came through for me last week. So hopefully, and not just because I have him. I mean, he's a guy along with Jarvis Landry, Martavius Bryant. You remember? Come on, fantasy football training camp, right? We talked about these second-year receivers, you know, and getting your hands on one and what the expectation was. And you look in Philly and you don't understand why he's not producing, because you say, look, they don't have anybody. I mean, Riley Cooper, who is he? I don't know. Nelson Aguilar, right? He's been hurt a little bit. Yeah, like, there's nobody. So maybe that's the problem. You know, maybe since there's nobody, you know, Miles Austin, right? I mean, since there's nobody, maybe defenses are keying in on him. But I don't know. I certainly hope he can turn it around. I thought he was going to have a pretty good year. Absolutely not. Let's talk late round value. This is just in general. Phillip Rivers. Yeah, we seem like we talk the same thing about Phillip every year, right? You grab Phillip in the 9th or 10th or 11th, and man, guys, the value's just there. Cam Newton, he wasn't so much of a late rounder. Well, actually, you know what? I think, yeah, expectation. He certainly wasn't up where, you know, I would say probably people picking him. Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. 7th, 8th. You know, it wasn't a huge rush for Cam, and I think that once Benjamin went down, that was it. You know, people said, well, dang, he just got Olsen. Who are these other guys again? And so Cam is making it happen, though. So good favorite late round pick right here. I mean, man, him and Rivers, I tell you, 9th, 10th, 11th, you know, you're getting that value there. You can't beat that. You know, Carson Palmer, he's smooth with it this year. Love what he's doing. I'm going to be interested to see how he matches up this week against Seattle's defense. You know, Devonta Freeman. And again, any of these guys could be on a waiver wire, right? Freeman was one. I made it really put my team over the top in one of my main money leagues. Freeman, he was on the waiver wire. So he's late round value. You know, people knew he was going to start, him and Tevin Coleman. So people were drafting them more than they were on the waiver wire. You know, a lot of people would say they would put him in their lineup. Didn't know what the expectation was, but he was definitely on the wire in some leagues. And for me and everybody else who grabbed him up, we know the damage he's done. Danny Woodhead, same would apply. Great late round value. He's in the top 10 right now, fantasy running back. So you can't beat that value. I mean, what else can I say? I mean, that's the bottom line. Like, it's about selecting the right players in the right round, you know, and maximizing and getting the most out of that pick. And that's what these guys are doing for you, you know? Okay, sorry about that. Had a little bit loss of a connection. Again, you know, we work off a wireless system here, so please excuse that. But, no, well, let's hop back in. We were talking about late-round value, and some of these guys talking about the waiver wire could apply as well. And so Al Robinson was the guy who we left off with the Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver, and, again, could have got him off the wire. I mean, what a pickup. I mean, Allen Robinson, man, these guys, him, Bortles, Hearns, they're fantasy ready. Like, them boys is ready to go. You know, I mean, those are guys you want in your lineups weekly. They're airing it out. Bortles is airing it out. Robinson and Hearns, they're going to get it. And that's a talented group, man. They, you know, Jacksonville finally has cashed in on some talent. And they're on the come up. They're on the come up. They get their defense and offensive line together, but their skill position guys, they're well intact. Eric Decker, he's another guy, like, coming in the draft. We say, yo, hey, don't forget to grab Eric Decker, right? Like, yo, he's a guy who he's gonna produce because he's in a more comfortable situation in the number two. And also, we've seen in the – isn't that something, you know, like, some things you could clearly see in the preseason. By the time the preseason was over, you say, you know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick has made up his mind that he's going to throw the football to Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. Like, that's pretty much the only two guys that he's going to be throwing the football to. And that's not easy to do. You know, sometimes it's not, but I guess easier two than one. But, like, those are the guys that he leans on. You know, I checked the targets last night. Brandon Marshall over the last four games, 42 targets. Eric Decker, 35. So, I mean, that's only 7 less than the main receiver. Like, that's how he's able to produce, and what a great late round. Or, you know, I scooped him off the waiver wire. He's a guy that somebody dropped on a bye week. And I said, oh, really? You know, so nice pickup there. Eric Decker, the late round value is there. James Jones of the Green Bay Packers. You know, what late round value? Or I remember him being up on the NFL Exporter website probably back around week 2 or something, right? He's there, waiver wire pickup. You know, late round, you know, you see that the elite players really, and it's always been that way, but the elite players probably more than any other time, they really are making up the least amount of production on your team. You know, it's the mid-level guys, it's the late round values, it's the waiver wire pickups. Those are the players who, for the most part, are determining your weekly outputs. You know, you probably have at most 3 studs on one team with a lot of studs being hurt or underperforming. You know, it's probably rare that somebody's got, you know, 3 to 4 of the top performers on some teams. But then again, you know, those were the right draft picks, and you do have owners out there in that situation. But for the high majority, and even on their team, they're even making a huger impact, right? Imagine bringing in a guy like Gary Barnidge, and you had already a Trump team, right? So you see that there. But James Jones, great job. Again, we mentioned Steve Smith Sr. He was an honorable mention. The late round value, he was there. And then Martavius Bryant, you know, late round value, you know, was able to grab him. You know, Martavius due to suspension, you know, he fell on the radar a little bit. People grabbing him, 8th, 9th, you know, you may be in a little deeper league, 7th. But you get him tail end, you know, and then he's coming in now. And legitimate number two, you stick him in the weekly, especially with Benny at quarterback, and you've got yourself a legitimate number two receiver. So excellent job there. All right, look, we're going to run to a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the NFL Exporter. We're approaching kickoff. Buffalo Bills, New York Jets. This is going to be a good game tonight. I know everybody is real anxious to see this one. Don't go anywhere. It's the ultimate fantasy experience. Make sure you come and join us, 6081 Center Drive, Los Angeles, California. Everybody listening to the show, if you can't make it down, you know where to find us each and every Monday and Thursday. For those of you who are able to make it, we look forward to seeing you soon. Should be a great game tonight. Let's take a quick break. NFL Exporter, you're listening to The Extra Point. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, NFL Exporter. Once again, we should be close to kickoff. We started half an hour later than we normally do today. Show usually from 7 until 8:30, and so we'll be a little bit over in the kickoff. I know nobody absolutely minds that. We're keeping track of the game as well. Once again, you're joining us live from Los Angeles, California, Dave and Buster's, and the ultimate fantasy experience. We have fantasy football owners come out from around the city and watch the game, throw around a lot of fantasy stuff. You know, you can find us on Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Follow us on Twitter at NFL Exporter and join in on the fun. We're heading to the second half of the season. Make sure you visit NFLExporter.com. I just went over a couple pieces of new information that we have up there for you to check out. Just go to the fantasy football page, and we'll be covering this stuff all weekend long. Right now, we're going to go ahead and bring in Mr. Greg LaFortune. He handles the weekly start and sit. And, Greg, how's everything going today?
Everything's good, Lance. How about you?
Things are going well. Things are going well. Just, man, we're at the halfway point of the season. And, man, it's crucial. But we just updated the website on the fantasy football page, and we have you on there, your top starts and sits. So talk to us. Why don't you start with your sits? Let's do it vice versa this week. We always like to be a little bit out of the box. Give us your top 10 sits this week, Greg.
You got it. The top one's going to be Hoyer against Cincinnati. Cincinnati plays really good against the pass. They have a lot of seventh field fantasy points for quarterback, and they're playing at home, and they really got their groove on. Not really liking Hoyer this week.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. You know, I really wonder, you know, if it's a situation with Hoyer. I think with him, it's just a matter of turnovers. You know, I think that kind of looking at that game on the outside end, I'm thinking 31-17, you know, 31-20, something like that, Cincinnati. So, yeah, I agree. You know, I think it could be a little bit on the uglier side. I think turnovers dictated one. You probably can find a better matchup. But I will say this would be interesting, Greg. If you look at his numbers, since he took over that one game they lost against Indianapolis, he's been stellar. He's been averaging 20-plus points every week. So let's see if he can keep it going.
Okay, I agree. My next one is going to be Marcus Mariota. A lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon there for the game he had last week, which was a definitely good game. But he's got Carolina this week. Tennessee overall, I mean, they averaged about 230 yards pass in the game, which is towards the bottom of the average in the league, but and plus they're playing against Carolina this week, so that's such a really bad matchup for Mariota. I don't see him having a game like he had last week this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think you look for a better option. I'm going to tell you right now, with him, I don't doubt his ability, and he's shown to be tough. But like you said, from a matchup standpoint, I think we're deep enough into the season that, you know, Carolina defense really matches up well against you know, Tennessee, especially if they get them one-dimensional. So, you know, I don't think he'll have the type of day that you want in your lineup. But I think, I mean, hell, if he comes out of it with, like, you know, who knows, 235, two TDs and an interception, you know, nobody would be surprised.
Okay, I agree. My next is going to be Lamar Miller. He's playing at Philly this week. Philly got a nice stout run defense, giving up the fifth fewest points to the running backs. And for some reason, in the last couple of weeks, Miller isn't really getting the carries. I mean, he's only got 21 in the last two combined. And now we're hearing whispers about this Ayaji kid coming up, and he said he earned a few more carries, so he might get even less than that. So I'm really not liking Lamar Miller.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's so funny, Greg. You know, like, I think with Miller, the thing that's really helping him out right now is his involvement in the passing game. You know, he's doing a lot more in the passing game than I think anybody anticipated him coming in the season. And I totally agree. Philly's defense is tough, but I think it's about touches. You know, I think if he gets 20 to 25 touches combined, he'll be able to produce somehow, some way. So let's keep an eye on Lamar Miller. I really, you know, he got off to a very sluggish start, but he's been finding a way to get it done. So, man, a lot of these people you're bringing up, they're like, you know, the matchup and the trending pattern is there, but then it's like, you know, these are people who are touching the ball a lot. So it'll be interesting. I can't wait to see how these matchups shake out.
Exactly, right. Another one with a really bad matchup this week is LeSean McCoy tonight. I'm not liking him at all. It's more about the Jets D than it is about McCoy. I mean, he's somewhat healthy. Got a little banged up last week, but he's in there tonight. And it's just the Jets. They don't give up any runs on the any yards on the ground. They give up about 80 yards a game. They've only given up two rushing touchdowns all year. And McCoy's been losing a little bit here and there to Carlos Williams, which I don't blame him. The guy's quick. They got to get him some touches, but I'm really not liking McCoy tonight against the Jets.
Yeah, definitely iffy. I mean, it's totally up in the air, on that one. I think for him, you worry about the shoulder injury, how serious was it? But you know, it's probably a situation for an owner. You know, can they afford to sit him? I wonder if you have a better option. So that's probably going to be the key. Let me ask you this, Greg. Let's say what do you think? You know, let's say if it's an owner who does not have an option. You know, maybe they're catching somebody on the bye, like, you know, Shady. It's like, okay, at least they know he's going to get some touches. What type of numbers on the, you know, do you see him putting up tonight if the owner is going to have to settle for, you know, putting him in their lineup?
I'm not seeing him getting to the end zone unless he breaks a long one. I mean, there's always that chance. I mean, McCoy's got definite skills, so he's going to get some touches, but he's not going to have that really McCoy-like game for you tonight, not against the Jets, not with the defense they have. So, I mean,
okay.
He's big play and touchdown reliant, we'll call him this week. I'll say that.
Okay, great. Who you got next?
I got Larry Fitz against Seattle. Obviously, Seattle's defense is good. They give up 186 yards pass in a game. That's second. They've only given up three passing touchdowns all year. And Fitz is going to get shut down by that Seahawks defense at home. They shut everybody down at home. I don't see anything different happening this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that one has a history. Fitzgerald has never, I won't say never, but I should say over the last couple of years, that's just been a matchup that he's really struggled with, you know, with him not being a speed guy. Richard Sherman is pretty much able to stick to him like glue. And I'd have to agree. Cardinals offense in general playing at probably at the highest level they ever have going to Seattle. But like I said, with Richard Sherman on him, you know, you expect modest numbers.
Exactly. My next is going to be Jeremy Maclin at Denver. Well, first of all, they're playing Denver at home. It's a tough matchup. He's probably going to draw Chris Harris. He's only got six catches in his last two games. He got a touchdown in there, but he's only got 83 yards over the last two games, which is not good at all. Denver's only allowed one touchdown to a wide receiver all year long, which is amazing. So if you got somebody better than Maclin, I would definitely pop him in there.
Yeah, that is a matchup that, you know, I don't like that matchup either. You know, Denver, they really seem to give Alex Smith a hard time, too. Like, when he plays them, he tends to just – he just doesn't play well. I think the thing that's interesting is, you know, with Maclin is the first time they played, he had 57 yards. And Greg, you know what? I'm not investing in this one, but I will say that I wouldn't be surprised to see him, but like you said, yeah, it's tough. I'm thinking around 85 yards, only because if Kansas City can't run, they're going to have no choice but to pass. But like you said, you're probably hard to imagine him getting in the end zone. So maybe PPR, he's got some value perhaps.
Right. I'm seeing more of like dump offs to West and anybody else they got coming out of the backfield there, because that Denver pass rush is amazing. Their corners are amazing. It's got a great defense all around. Okay, another guy I don't like tonight, Sammy Watkins. A lot of people jumping on the bandwagon after that big game he had last week. But the previous three before that, he almost had what he had last week. I mean, he hasn't been getting the ball that much. He's always banged up. And once again, he's playing the Jets, probably going to draw Revis. So I don't like Sammy Watkins' chance. I'm looking at maybe 40 yards, maybe three catches. If he gets a touchdown, he'll be lucky.
Yeah, you know what? What I'm looking to see, and I'm with you, you know, and he's actually a guy who's covered on the fantasy football page. We just updated yesterday for NFL Exporter. You know, I'm looking to see targets. You know, I mean, that was the main thing, Greg, that got him numbers last week, you know, was targets. You know, he came out of the game with 8 targets, and, you know, he's a guy who we've seen this from him before. He'll have a big game, and then he'll disappear for 3 or 4 games. So, you know, we got to see a trend and a pattern established. And I'm really anxious to see tonight how many targets he gets. So I think he's a dark horse. I think he's a guy who could have a big game. I mean, he's got some big-time speed. And if Buffalo's going to try to get him the football, you know, I think they've done that in the past, neglected him. So, but like you said, the trend, the pattern, especially having to take a trip off to Revis Island, you'd imagine it's going to be tough going. You know, you probably want to look for a different matchup.
Exactly. Well, Sammy Watkins is subject to change because if he hits an 80-yard touchdown right here as I'm watching, I'm going to put him over in my start. So, oh, they just went deep to him too. Wow, unbelievable as we speak. Okay, next one I don't like. Ben Watson at Washington. Washington's very good against the tight end. They're actually 5th fantasy points allowed to tight ends. They've only given up 3 touchdowns to tight ends all year. And Watson seems not to get the red zone opportunities. He seems to score from way out long, but they're between Ingram and Spiller and Cooks, and they're getting all the red zone targets. He doesn't get many, so I'm not liking Ben Watson this week.
Yeah, yeah. Game flow, you know, he could. I mean, you know, however it's working out, you know, Drew Brees is finding a way to air this thing out, and they need to get on track. You know, I think that the Reds secondary, if Brees can get time, you know, he could pick them apart. So, you know, probably going to find – it'd be rough to find a better option for him. I think he's a top 10 fantasy tight end right now. So that'll be one that I'll be a little you know, let's see how that works out. I think there's a chance. Because what do you have? I think last week he had 60 yards, and that's not the best game. But from a tight end position, he'll take the point. So I'll roll with Watson this week, Greg.
Right, right. Yeah, you're not looking for big numbers out of your tight end. Maybe he'll get you about 60 yards, but I don't think he's just going to have a really awesome game like the 11 catch game he had a couple of weeks ago. Okay, it hurts me to say this as being a Seahawks fan, but I got to say sit Jimmy Graham against Arizona. They haven't given up a touchdown to a tight end since week 3. Hasn't scored over 31 points in 4 games this year. He's had under 31 points. I mean, or 31 yards, I mean, he's just not having the year everybody expected, and he's in blocking more. I don't know if Russell's not seeing him, but he's just not having it, and Arizona's a tough matchup for him. So if you got something better than Jimmy, I'd play him too.
Yeah, no, you know, the trend and patterns there, like you said, that is definitely okay. a matchup that you definitely are looking at trying to stay away from. I mean, that's one that you'll be shocked or surprised if he has a good game there. So, yeah, I totally agree on that one.
Okay, over to a couple of defenses I don't like. The Chiefs, a lot of people are looking down on Peyton, saying maybe the Chiefs will get a couple of pick sixes off of him. Peyton isn't what he used to be, but Peyton kind of owned Kansas City. In the last 3 against Kansas City, Peyton's had 8 touchdowns. Kansas City's actually given up 16 touchdowns over the course of the year. So, I don't know. I definitely find a better defense than the Chiefs. I wouldn't jump on the Peyton's bad bandwagon like a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, I think they'll balance out. You know, I mean, right now with the way that Denver's playing on the offensive side of the football, I say that, you know, as long as Tom Bailey shows up, that's the key. He showed up the last couple weeks, and it's really helped out their pass rush because they've just really been relying on Justin Houston. So they'll probably be good for about 4 sacks, you know, maybe a fumble or interception. I think it'll balance out for them. You can find better defenses, but they'll probably balance out with about 7 or 8 points. Regardless, that'll probably still leave room for Denver to put up like 27 points. So, okay, what you got next?
Okay, probably the the most obvious pick I got all of the week is sit New Orleans defense against the Redskins. to say that New Orleans has got a bad defense is I can go for 10 minutes about how bad that they are. So and Washington is actually a top 10 passing team in yards and touchdowns, which is surprising to me. I didn't think they were that good. I thought they were maybe average or so, but they're playing against New Orleans. Everybody plays above average against them, so I'd find a definitely better defense in New Orleans.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I don't even have anything to say about that so-called defense. Unbelievable. All right, sounds good. All right, now let's get to the good stuff. Who are your top starts of the week? Who should owners be putting in with big-time confidence?
All right, I'm jumping on the Blake Bortles bandwagon this week. I've been hating him and hating him and hating him, and I think the guy's for real. I mean, he's got multiple touchdowns in four straight games. His last five, he's averaging 300 yards. He had 381 against the so-called vaunted Jets defense last week. I mean, he's playing lights out. He's got a couple of good targets out there. Plus, he's got Julius Thomas, which he isn't using yet. So, I mean, when he starts finding him, look out. The two Allens and Thomas over the middle. I mean, that's a pretty good setup for him. So I like Bortles this week against Baltimore.
Yeah, definitely. They're stacking up the numbers. They're one of the funner offenses to watch. Who you got next?
I got Andy Dalton playing Houston. Houston's kind of a sorry D. Fifth most touchdowns in the league, 16 for the whole year. That's a lot. I mean, like fifth most yards they're giving up. Very porous defense, and Dalton's been picking apart fairly decent defenses all year. So I'm liking Dalton to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, I have to agree. What's the name? Cincinnati's skill position play. They got too many playmakers for Houston. I like the matchup as well. Who you got next?
Okay, I got Justin Forsett against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's given up the ninth most fantasy points for running backs. So, I mean, he's got a pretty good matchup. And I'm looking at the loss of Steve Smith as seeing an uptrend for Forsett. I think he'll get a couple more targets out of the backfield. I mean, he's already ninth in targets out of running backs, and I think he's going to move right up that list now that Steve Smith isn't there to come across the middle and catch those little slants like he does every week.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing, and I agree, I love this matchup, but I'm going to be watching Forsett because the last time that he had a quote-unquote great matchup that I love, he didn't produce, and I want to see him produce, and that was against San Diego. I mean, you've seen what Jeremy Langford, you know, did to San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, their defense is kind of right for the picking. And when that, you know, at home, Forsett against San Diego, that was a matchup I really liked for him. And I think he only had like 19, 67 yards on 19 rush. So I'm going to be, I love it, the matchup like you, Greg, but I'm going to be watching. That one kind of make me, like, okay, now wait a minute, so.
Okay, yeah, I agree. My next is Doug Martin against Dallas. Surprisingly, Dallas gives up the second most points to running back fantasy-wise. 9 rushing touchdowns they've allowed this year. They've almost won a game. So I think Doug Martin's got a good chance of catching a score, maybe a few catches out of the backfield. Winston's playing good. They're playing good football in Tampa. So I like Doug Martin this week.
Yeah, that should be a game. Days around in, Martin last week had to fumble early. They got down early, so kind of got lost in the shuffle. But I think this is a game that, they should be, the score should be close enough, and that means that he'll be heavily involved. And I like him, if nothing else, getting your double-digit points all-purpose this week as well. What do you got next, Greg?
I got Alshon Jeffrey playing against the Rams. Now, the Rams got a good defense and all, but Jeffrey's numbers the last three games are out of this world. And 28 catches, 414 yards, a couple of touchdowns. I don't care who he's playing against, Denver, Carolina, you're going to start Jeffrey this week, and chances are he's going to blow up because I think Cutler and him got a little Cutler-Brandon Marshall thing going on now. So he's finding him wherever he is on the field. So I love Jeffrey this week.
Yeah, Alshon's a big-time player. We heard nothing but great things coming out of training camp from his coaching staff before he caught the injury. Just make sure you do check his injury. He came up today with a groin. I didn't say the severity of it, but just take a peek on that before you do put him in your lineup. Other than that, like you said, he should get the targets, and that's going to result in some numbers for him this week, one way or another.
Definitely, I heard that he was noticed walking around after practice, and he wasn't limping, so that's a good sign. So, all right, my next is Jarvis Landry playing in Philly. Philly gives up fourth most fantasy points to wideouts over the course of the year. Landry's averaging over 9 targets a game. Tannehill's finding him. You know, he's the all-everything guy there. Gets a couple of rushes a game. You know, I like Landry this week. He's got a nice matchup at Philly. I think he'll get in the end zone.
Yeah, he's really been a PPR guy, more than a standard guy this year. Last couple games, only 70 receiving yards, no touchdowns. So, you know, with Tannehill struggles, and that's the guy who, you know, really is key in this whole thing. But, you know, Landry, I'm sitting on the fence with him this week. I want to see what he does. Like I said, only about 70 receiving yards last couple games, no TD. Tannehill, you know, he's shaky. So I'll be watching Jarvis Landry real close this week. Who you got next, Greg?
Okay, I got Allen Robinson, who's been on my sit list more often than not this year. Finally putting him on my start list. I'm a believer. I mean, look at the numbers him and Hearns are putting up. I mean, they're both up there. They're the best duo since their stats right now match up with Randy Moss and Wes Welker back in the New England days when they were blowing it up. So, I mean, he's having a great year. Plus, he's playing Baltimore. He's got, I mean, they give up 207 yards a game to wide receivers, which is the second worst in the NFL. And a really nice stat that about Allen Robinson, he has the most targets of passes 15 or more yards downfield. So, I mean,
nice.
he's not catching those dink and dunk passes. He's catching good chunks
right,
of yards.
Right.
And he's leading the league in targets. He's got the second most catches and the second most receiving yards on plays over 15 yards. So, I mean, he's got the potential for monster games every week, and he's coming through every week, no matter who's on
him,
no matter who they're playing. I mean, Boyle is finding him, finding Hearns. They got a good little thing going, Jacksonville, right now.
Oh, yeah. You hit it on the head, man. The word is out. There's no question about it that Bortles and, like you said, that dynamic duo, they are getting it done. Next.
Okay, Jordan Reed from Washington playing New Orleans this week. Once again, do I have to say more? They're playing New Orleans this week. I mean, I got stats all over the place. They've given up 24 passing touchdowns this year. They give up 300 yards a game. Most yards to a tight end in the last 8 games. I mean, they are the worst D in the league. And Jordan Reed, I think, will sneak through that defense maybe a couple of touchdowns because he gets a lot of the red zone targets too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, all signs point to indicate to him having a productive day. He's certainly Kirk Cousins' favorite target. I think it'll be interesting to see if DeSean Jackson being back in the fold has any effect on those targets. But no, at the end of the day, like you said, that New Orleans Saints defense is right for the picking, and tight ends usually are able to cash in on them.
Right. And, I mean, they have no running game, so I think it's going to be all about Cousins and his targets, you know. Okay, my next is Greg Olsen against Tennessee. Tennessee gives up the 7th most points to tight ends. And, I mean, Olsen's having a little run here. His last 4 games, he's got 20 catches, almost 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. Him and Cam got a thing going better than they've had in any year that they've been together. So I like Olsen this week. I like him and Cam to keep that little connection going this week.
Yeah, that matchup versus Tennessee looks real good. I like Olsen this week as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're down to a couple defenses I like. I love Carolina at Tennessee. Tennessee is the 6th lowest scoring team. Carolina gives up the 5th fewest yards per game. That's a nice little combo there. Still a nice little stat. Tennessee is only 30% on third down, which is like 30th in the league. I mean, they can't sustain the long drive. So, I mean, Carolina's going to keep that ball. They keep that defense fresh. They're going to get on off the field quick. And Tennessee, they're going to be all over them. So, I'm loving Carolina.
Yeah, they had a great matchup this week against Mariota, especially if they can get ahead early. That defense can sink their teeth in. Who you got next?
Okay, last one. I got the Rams against Chicago. St. Louis is actually getting after the quarterback the last 4 games. They got 18 sacks in the last 4. They give up the 5th fewest yardage to teams. I mean, they're just playing really good. Chicago only scores about 20 points a game, which is definitely near the bottom of the league at this point. But loving St. Louis playing Chicago this week.
Yeah, I agree, especially at home. The Rams' defense really is tough. Got Gurley there to control that ground game. I think that's a good look for the Rams this week. Sure enough, they're a great pick. All right, Greg, well, as always, man, thank you for joining the show. That sound real legit, and we'll be looking forward to having you back on next week. Before you get out of here, of course, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay, on Facebook, facebook.com/GregLaFortune, and on Twitter at StartOrFit. Thanks, Lance. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Enjoy the game tonight, and I'll catch you on the Facebook page over the weekend.
Thank you, sir. All right, have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. Thanks a lot, Greg. All right, we're going to run to a quick break when we turn. We'll go ahead and wrap up the show. We'll quickly touch on a couple other things that were happening on the fantasy football page and give our picks for the week. NFL Explorer, Extra Points. We'll be right back. All right, everyone, thank you for coming back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. We're approaching our end, and so let's go ahead and take a quick peek in. We're going to hop back on the Fantasy Football page, and I'm just going to run through this really quickly so I can get my picks for the week, and then we can get over to the Thursday night football game. As you heard Greg mention already, Sammy Watkins, big 80-yard TD reception to get things going in that Buffalo Bills game, so should make for a good one. Fireworks out of the gate. We were talking about the top waiver wire pick. Ups real quick. There's a couple names to throw at you. Andy Dalton, Derek Carr. Those guys are really in. Blake Bortles. Those three guys have.
Put that jacket on.
Okay, sorry about that little interference there. And so some of your top waiver wire pickups at the quarterback position was Andy Dalton and Blake Bortles. Running back, Devonta Freeman, D'Angelo Williams, Deion Lewis, had to give him a shout-out, Carlos Williams, Sharkhandrick West, we mentioned him earlier. Trying to look for a couple of names I didn't get. Again, when we were talking about some of your handcuffs, the mid-level guys, some of these guys were on the waiver wire. But certainly looking through the list also Michael Crabtree, he's paying dividends right now. Willie Snead, he's paying dividends right now. Certainly Stephon Diggs for the Minnesota Vikings, Tyler Eifert, Gary Barnage, Delanie Walker, all great waiver wire pickups. And so make sure you go to the website, check that out. Your top bust so far this year, certainly Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, all underachieving. Drake Bell, Alfred Blue, not able to answer the call. He's getting that full workload, not able to do anything with it. Amir Abdullah, he's certainly underachieving. C.J. Anderson, Eddie Lacy, they've been bust. Jeremy Hill, he's been a bust. Marshawn Lynch, he's been a bust. Any other names on here? Mike Evans, certainly some disappointments. Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas, he's got a lot of yards, but only one touchdown. That's amazing. Certainly the running backs having to go out. Le'Veon, Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, Justin Forsett, you could throw him in there. He's doing okay. But I think you want a little more firepower. Some of these guys getting in the end zone, it really makes a difference. And obviously at the quarterback position, Romo, Luck, and Roethlisberger, those injuries certainly hurt. Real quick, you're going to love this. So we went back and we remixed it for you. So seeing how things have shaken out now, here are your top 50 players that should have been drafted off of the board. And this will be a lot of fun because you can reference this for yourself and kind of play connected dots. So go ahead and move some players around based on your ratings and what you're seeing. But if we were to do the draft over, knowing what we know now, seeing how things turned out now, your top 10 picks off the board would have been, and it gets, I'm doing this basically a 10-man league, so top 10 picks off the board. You got Devonta Freeman, Atlanta, Mark Ingram, Adrian Peterson, Chris Ivory, Lamar Miller, Danny Woodhead, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, and Tom Brady. So those would have been your top 10 picks off the board. In round two, Phillip Rivers, Rob Gronkowski, Larry Fitzgerald, Allen Robinson, Julian Edelman, Doug Martin, Todd Gurley, Matt Forte, Frank Gore, and Brandon Marshall. So that would have been your second round. Third round talent would have been looking like Allen Hurns, Tyler Eifert, Chris Johnson, DeMarco Murray, Latavius Murray, LeGarrette Blount, A.J. Green, Michael Crabtree, Tavon Austin, and Emmanuel Sanders. Your fourth round would be looking like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Justin Forsett, Giovanni Bernard, Carlos Williams, T.Y. Hilton, Travis Benjamin, Jarvis Landry, John Stewart, and Ryan Matthews. okay? And then your fifth round, this is the last, this round of the top 50 players that would have been taken off the board based off of where we are right now, which is heading into the halfway point. So we're going to come back, and we'll see a lot of these names be exchanged out for others, all right? Your final 10 would have been McFadden, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer, Gary Barnage, Greg Olsen, Amari Cooper, James Jones, Brandon Cooks, and Eric Decker. So take a look at that. Go to NFLExplorer.com. Check out the fantasy football page, the stuff we talked about on Extra Points today, connected with those dots on there. And it's pretty fun, pretty exciting. Definitely keeping it creative and unique, you know, a little bit off the radar and out of the box with everything else that's trending going on around fantasy circles. But it's still relevant. You know, it still touches exactly what's going on right now. Just to give you an idea, here's a couple teams, how they would shake out or look based on these picks. You have somebody would have Devonta Freeman, Phillip Rivers, Allen Hurns, and Darren McFadden. Drew Brees was the other choice there, but obviously they wouldn't take two quarterbacks. But not bad right now, right? I mean, if you got Rivers, Freeman, McFadden, and Hurns, that's a nice nucleus. Another team would be Mark Ingram, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Johnson, Andy Dalton. Again, four sets the other guy. I don't think you go three running backs there, but certainly, I mean, if you got Ingram and Chris Johnson along with Andy Dalton and Gronk on your team right now, certainly that's a nice core of guys. One more to throw at you. Move down here a little bit. How about this combination? Make sure I got this right. You got Julio, Gurley, Crabtree, Amari Cooper, and Jarvis Landry. Obviously, you wouldn't pick all those wide receivers, but you kind of get the drift. You know, I mean, these top 50 players, these are the guys producing and who have produced the first half of the season. And one thing's for sure, all of these guys are going to continue to produce at a high rate. Football, they're getting the touches, the targets, they're heavily involved, and they stack these numbers leading up to this point. So it's going to do nothing but continue and roll over. Obviously, injuries could change that forecast at any given time. One more quick break when we come back. Let's quickly run through the Week 10 games, and then that'll be it. It'll be time to kick back and watch the rest of the Bills and Jets and get on with this weekend. I know owners can't wait for Week 10 playoffs fast approaching. Don't go anywhere. NFL Exporter, Extra Points. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Let's quickly run it down before we get out of here. Once again, thanks to everybody for joining. You guys know your support is definitely appreciated here, making us one of the top fantasy football shows in the country right now. We really appreciate that. Let's go ahead before we go ahead and end the show. New York versus New England. I don't like Eli Manning this week. I don't like Odell Beckham this week. I would recommend you sit him. That would be my take on it. I think New England wins this one mightily. We all be waiting to see what James White has to offer. New running back taking over for Deion Lewis. Philly at Miami. I like the running game for Philly this week. Miami, I think Lamar Miller, you know, tricky, but the touches are there. I don't know. That's a finicky game. Both of those teams not doing too well. I don't know about that one. We talked about Cam Newton, Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart appears. They have a good matchup there at Tennessee. That could be a trap game. Tennessee, Mariota, Delaney Walker, think it'll be real interesting to see how they shake out what Aaron Andrews can try to do on the ground. Oakland versus Minnesota. This is an interesting one. Minnesota's defense plays very tough. Derek Carr and the guys airing it out. Not sure if Latavius Murray's going to go. Not sure if Teddy Bridgewater's going to go. Hopefully everybody is 100%. That could be a pretty good game right there. Dallas against Tampa Bay. Certainly like McFadden. Watch out for Dez Bryant, knee injury. We talked about Doug Martin having a good game. I think this one could be beneficial to some fantasy owners. Mike Evans has a good day. Denver at KC. I think for most of these games this week, I don't really see too many games. I think we pretty much covered all of your starts. You know, Arizona and Seattle, that's when it could get ugly. Obviously, I don't like any Cleveland Browns. Houston could struggle at Cincy. Chicago could be in a little trouble in St. Louis. But overall, the scoring should be up this week. I don't really see too many in Carolina, Tennessee. Those could be your dominant performances. Also, New England and the Giants, those could be your dominant performances. But I expect for the scoring to be up this week. All right, one more time. NFL Exporter, we are out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. Hit us up on Facebook /NFL Exporter. Go to the website. That's the key to your success. man, enjoy the game tonight, and I'll be looking forward to talking to everybody this upcoming Monday for the review to see how everything went around week 10. Catch us on social media for any other questions. We are signing out of here live from Dave and Buster's. Get down here and enjoy us for the rest of the game. 1100.